Hello and welcome to the Counterpress Podcast. I am your host, Kirk Kinsey, and with me tonight is Josh Cacho. Josh, have you recovered significantly from the game? Or sufficiently, I should say.
I mean, I would love to say at this point that I'm surprised by results like this, right? But I've conditioned myself, you know, in the way of Major League Soccer and just apathetic at this point, because that is what, you know, that we're supposed to do until July, apparently, you know, based on the way that our rosters are usually built, right? As we're basically just told to, you know, it's okay. We'll pick it up down the stretch run. So I'm going to go ahead and follow suit and take that attitude for the time being, right? And that way, I don't have to be mad. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be happy. You just kind of stay even keeled for the time being.
Yeah. I think detachment at this point with this team is probably well advised. LAFC obviously losing 3-1 in a game that was not that close at all, to the worst team maybe in the league, Josh. Definitely in the Western Conference in San Jose. This was their first win of the season, and they trounced LAFC.
Second LAFC win of the season.
This was their second. Okay.
Yeah. They beat Seattle 3-2, which kind of...
Oh, they beat Seattle too. Okay. Yeah. They
beat, you know, the other continues to pad our resume.
Yes. Yes. So they have half as many wins as LAFC do. and they're not good. And yet yesterday they trounced LAFC. LAFC looked terrible from front to back, just terrible. There's really nothing redeeming about this. You get a consolation goal from Kike. He does a great job with it. Great finish across the face of goal, low into the opposite post. Great. This does not make him a superstar. Neither does his other game. Does his one other goal this season in what was a different blowout game, right? Once the game is out of hand, yeah, he might come in and get a goal, right? He had the fourth goal against Nashville. Josh looked that up before the show, not me. And he has the consolation goal here to keep them from absolute failure and losing 3-0 to San Jose. Forwards, not good. Midfield, unable to really do anything. Backline, absolute horror show. And same goes for Hugo Lloris in goal, who seems uninterested in covering his posts, who's unable to keep the ball out on corners. Dude, it's just bad. The whole thing is just terrible.
Tell me how you really feel at this point.
I feel like I'm detaching so as to not care.
Welcome to the club. I'm going to have to start just like not waking up early for these games and just watching them on replay, because yeah. I said to wake me up in the early morning, Sunday early morning, to catch this game Philippine time, to watch what I watched. Like, typically our whole family gets up, where we all get up, we watch it, you know, about 7:30 in the morning for these games. Mm-hmm. About halfway through, like my kids knocked out again, because the play is just nothing. Nothing enjoyable to watch. And then my wife, who's usually even more diehard about watching these games from beginning to end, is like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and get ready for the day, and just left about, you know, 60th minute or so, because that is probably about as much attention as this team deserves at this point, based on how they're playing.
I'm trying to think of like what there is that you can build on. So there's a couple things that Dolo said. Before the match, he let the whoever the reporters are, I don't know, the commentators are talking about how they're trying to learn to attack better from possession. They had more possession last night, as many have pointed out. San Jose was happy to give them the ball. because they can counterattack pretty effectively, right? We've known that for a couple years now, but they can't do it in possession. That's odd to me because they have a better midfield than they have in a while. They just don't, like, I mean, I guess it's not that odd when you don't have effective forwards. You have one effective forward, right? Matty Bogusz is going to do some nice things. Kike is ineffective. San Jose, again, is happy to give them the ball and say, sure, try and possess the ball around us and see what you can do. I do think San Jose had a solid plan for how to deal with that. Let's give them the ball, let's sit in a mid block, and let's block off any access to the midfield, which is exactly what they did. All three of their forwards oftentimes were just packed kind of centrally to block off Ilya in the passing lanes to the attacking mids. And LAFC didn't have any answers. They had no answers for that. And while I do think that performance is bigger than just how the LAFC is set up tactically and what they're trying to do on the chessboard, Lucci got it right. And Lucci has gotten it right a lot against Dolo in the last couple of years. When was the last time we beat San Jose? It seems like we only lose to San Jose now.
The last time I remember beating San Jose was when Vela had that zigzag run through the midfield. I honestly can't think of the last time they've beat them before then.
We'll have to look this up while we're chatting here. But it seems like there've been, like, for the longest time, LAFC was blowing San Jose out of the water repeatedly, right? And then it kind of switched. Anyway, we'll try and figure this out here and update everybody on the show. Josh, one thing that concerns me a lot is the fact that some of these goals that we're seeing them give up are happening a lot. They gave up two on corners yesterday, and the open play goal that they gave up was kind of a looping cross from in front of the left back to the man right behind Jesus Murillo. And Murillo loses his man twice in these situations yesterday. I'm not going to blame him so much for the corner. Well-designed corners are hard to defend, and guys are going to lose their man. But he keeps losing his man on these crosses, and it's kind of unacceptable. And I'm tired of seeing goals be conceded from there.
Yeah, I mean, for that, it's either one of two things, right? It's either... And neither of them are good, right? The two explanations are either Murillo needs to be better at staying with his guy, right, like we talked about, or we need to look at how they're setting up defensively as a team and make adjustments to help Murillo out in that same sense, right? So the question here is, like, which of the two is more, right? Which is the two is more prevalent? And I don't know. Based on the other mistakes that Murillo has been making, I just don't know if no matter what you do as a coach there, it will really help all that much, right? It just,
yeah,
he seems like a bit of a lost cause at this point.
It is crazy, Josh, that the center back play has been so bad this year. For how much money they are spending on center backs, it is so, so bad. And we're talking about guys who are veterans in the league at this point, in Murillo and Segura and Long specifically, right? The defense is just terrible. Terrible.
Well, and especially not even just that. Guys that have been heralded as MLS All-Stars, no less.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously losing a legend like Chiellini is always going to hurt. But obviously, yeah, you don't think that it's going to make, you're going to look as bad as it does. Now, part of that too, I think, is that for the reason why that backline looks so bad is that midfield is not nearly as resilient as it was previously when Acosta is sitting in there. Right.
Yeah.
I love me some Eddie Atuesta, but he is not nearly the same type of player that's going to bail you in on the bail you out on the defensive side that Acosta would, right? In a ways, in a lot of ways that people didn't appreciate, I think, during his tenure here.
Yeah. All right, you ready for the history between these two teams? Mm-hmm. So they just lost to San Jose. Last year in July, they drew. We actually beat them in May. We lost the two before that. LAFC won the two previous, San Jose. So I guess that has been a little bit more even. It just seems like we keep getting battered by this team.
I think we just can't beat them away is the biggest thing, right? Seems like the last time we LAFC beat them away was, the Vela zigzag run in like March 9 of 2020.
Okay. Interesting. So, anyway, it's...
2019 was the last time.
Beat him away. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's actually kind of crazy. I am about ready to start drawing conclusions on the season. Like I said, that's led to me detaching from these results, right? Because this team is not consistently good. You get a couple fun matches, right? But when you look at them a little bit closer, the wins aren't as impressive, right? You beat Seattle, who's bad and was injured. You beat Nashville in this blowout fashion. We all think, all right, they're back. We got this, right? And then you come out and lose a bunch more. And then you beat Galaxy, and that is a quality win. But we also know it's kind of a crapshoot. Those games can go either way, right? You can't ever read too much into them, positive or negative. And then you get bailed out against a shorthanded Portland at the death by Bawanga, right? On kind of a broken corner, right? Where Kai Kamara gets the ball on target, it bounces out, it happens to fall next to Bawanga, and he does what he does. And that, those are your wins this season. Everything else is just losses and poor play. I mean, Josh, have you seen much? How many games are we in now? This is 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a third of the way through the regular season now. What are we looking at, Josh?
I think you can take this third plus a lot of last season, right?
And
actually really start to draw a lot of conclusions about what we're in for. And the thing is, you know, and like I said, we rode the Bob in train for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. We were on board, you know, we were very always hesitant to really get to that point. But honestly, I'm actually at a point now where I'm out on Trundlo. The reason being is, again, and it's not so much for anything that he has done wrong. It's more for what he doesn't do.
Like, it's a sin of omission.
It's like that he doesn't necessarily do spectacularly, if you will.
Yeah.
Because again, the standard, right, that the front office has set, right, when you look across the board and when you're going to promote Magic Johnson as part of your front office, you know, the goal is championships, the goal is trophies, the goal is to fill the cabinet, all these different things, right? That's all we've heard. Well, the standard set in the city, right, heart of the city, Los Angeles, ride or die, right? All these different things that we hear across the board from the team, right? The standard set is that you win or you out, right? And we've had coaches that have similar resumes that have had shorter leashes than I think that he's been given at this point, given the big losses that he's endured.
Throughout all of LA. We've had
throughout all of LA.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The only person that I think probably has a similar resume that still has a long leash is probably Dave Roberts with the Dodgers.
Mm.
Right. But other than that, right, it's what have you done for me lately? And if you ain't it, we're moving on to the next one. Right, because again, the question I have to ask is: take this team and give it to Jim Curtin, who's done so much with not very much, and what is his record?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because Trundolo, when this is the first time we've seen him a bit exposed, first time we've seen him without having overwhelming talent on his side. Towards the end of last season was probably the next part of it too, right? Where I don't even think he was overwhelming last year. You just had more than you do now, right? The talent you had was just better, but it wasn't overwhelming in the way that it was in 2022. 2022, you have an overwhelmingly talented roster.
Yeah.
And it still took you to the death to really pull that one out against a Philadelphia team, right? Whose best player is Daniel Gazdag, who never hurt. No one ever heard of before he got them at Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
And a bunch of homegrown guys that they've built up through the academy, right? Their biggest name player is Andre Blake, who's an MLS lifer.
Yeah. And he's not happy there, by the way.
No. So that's why it's like, now I look at this point, it's like, I don't know if Trundolo is any better than Brian Schmetzer, right? Who now when you remove one of the best GMs in the league and Garth Lagerwey out of that situation, Seattle looks...
They're awful.
Awful, yeah. Right?
Which is what we've always said about Schmetzer. There's nothing special about what he does, right?
Yeah, it's in the same way
they have a ton of talent, and he doesn't get in the way.
Yeah, which in the same way, Trundolo is kind of similar. He's basically, like for all you Laker fans out there, he is Frank Vogel. He's just another guy. Name ex assistant that came from, one of the good coaching trees, is a decent coach, but doesn't really do anything to put you over the top. That's kind of what we're dealing with. Then.
If you are Dolo out. Which I think you said you're out on Dolo. I don't know if that's the same. Maybe it's semantics. Are you saying bail on him now? Or what do you do, Josh?
I don't know what his contract situation is, right? If I'm in the front office and if you're JT and you know there's only so much you can really do, it depends on, obviously it's like, and we took this stance during the Bob years as well. I think the way that you have to look at it is like, if it seems like he's started to lose the locker room, then you let him go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you finish out the season and then you move on.
Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns there, right? Mm-hmm. And I will say that I don't have faith that this team, as currently constituted and as currently coached by this staff, is going to accomplish anything. That's the thing, is I don't know how a striker helps them. Not that Kai Kamara has anything left in the tank. I think it's pretty clear that he's over the hill at this point.
Except for when that fool tried to jump up, like he went up for a header.
He still got boosties.
Oh my gosh, he did the, what is it, Aaron Gordon put it under both legs on that jump.
Over the mascot on the hoverboard, right? They don't know how to use it. I think that's the problem for me, is it's watching a team that doesn't even know how to play with the pieces it does have. So now it's like, well, sure, bring in Giroud, but like, what's that going to do? Unless this man is going to get on the ball at the halfway line and dribble everybody for 50 yards and take the keeper one-on-one.
Yeah, and even from a purely tactical perspective, tell me what his Dolo's mark has been on the team, right? In year one, maybe he solidified the defense from how bad it was under Bradley towards the end there. But since then, what's the thing that he's done?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they turned into an incredibly direct get to goal immediately, right? Mm-hmm. Before the other team has a chance to recover. I mean, they turned it into that kind of attack, and it worked until other teams decided, you know what, we're not going to let you do this against us anymore. And when you come up against a great coach like Nancy in MLS Cup final, right, you get played off the pitch, right? And I mean, now even Lucci is doing it to you, right? And I know, again, state media loves this guy. He's been around MLS forever, but it's like, there's a reason he's been around MLS forever and a reason he's been on a couple different teams in MLS forever. So while I don't think it's necessary to fire him right now, because I don't know what fixes this problem other than kind of a reboot, right? Where you're going to have to get rid of a handful of guys. You're going to have to shuffle a lot on that back line. Murillo just loses his man all the time. Palencia doesn't track back post runners and help him out at all. Chanot, I think, has been fine. But again, when there's one of four guys defending, that's not going to cut it. I don't think.
Well, not even just that, right? How long do we have to hear this discourse about how bad Chicha was in defending and it was always this different thing?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we just see how apathetic Bwanga is on the same, you know, on set pieces. And
yeah, so I mean, the defense from the front isn't good either. Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is Hollingshead doesn't look comfortable defending on the left. And I think that's part of the reason all these balls keep being looped in from the opposing right wing. Yeah. And you're 100% right. That first corner that they concede, Josh, I don't know who it was, center back or a midfielder, picked up the ball and just glided right past Bwanga. Bwanga couldn't have been less interested in defending. And I think for me, I would have been like, you know what? Fine. Not his job. Midfielders pick up the pace, right? But because the justification to play Kike is he defends so well from the front, apparently, and because the whole Chicho thing was about his defensive lapses and he's not worth DP money because he doesn't defend the right way, makes that stuff stick out to me. And it's hard to ignore, right? Just almost impossible to ignore, because these are the criteria that you give us to judge these players on.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, right? Now said the things that you hear from the team basically is just PR speak, right? It was PR trying to kind of justify why they didn't, you know, why they let Chicho go, whether they should have or not. Right. But obviously the fan base wasn't happy when it happened.
Yeah, so, and I think the problem there, and it's not really useful to rehash the Chicho wars, I guess, but it's hard to ignore the fact that his team is top of the West and he keeps scoring, right? He keeps doing exactly what he's doing for you. And your team is floundering and has a hard time scoring goals and can't defend. The team is bad, and I don't know where the answer comes from.
That same thing, right? If we're at a point now, I think you brought this up not last week, but the week before. But if we're going to talk about, like, you know, oh, maybe we shouldn't have this, you know, this romance towards, you know, our guys that we want to keep here and so on, because Chicho clearly loved being here. Showed, you know, had he got us through those dark years, right? That 2021 season where, you know, it just seemed like there was no, you know, like it felt worse than it does now, right?
Yeah.
And then to let him walk, right, when the production was still there, yet at the same time try and justify paying, whether it be Carlos Vela, Kike, Sifu, any number of these guys that just aren't, that haven't even, you know, like I said, Vela, at least at this current moment, actually basically since Chicho got there, none of those guys have been able to hold a candle to what that guy has done in the league.
No. I mean, Bwanga's the one, right, who had a big season last year. But even still, it wasn't, you know, what was it, 19 goals last year?
Mm-hmm.
And like 38 across all competitions. But it's not, you didn't win any of those competitions. So...
Well, yeah, and it was funny because I was just listening to a podcast with Shaq and JJ Redick, right? And they talk about this ring conversation and what it means, right? And I think within LA, it means something a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, he was putting up huge numbers, but you get swept in the first round, right?
Yeah.
And he said Kareem and Wilt just wouldn't even acknowledge that he was in the room.
Yeah.
Until he won one, right?
Yeah.
Then when you win one, you got to win two. And then when you win two, you got to three-peat, because that is what LA does, right?
Yeah.
And if, and again, if we want to give that free pass to the team, so be it. But at that point, you're just the Clippers, right? So either put up or shut up. Seriously.
Josh taking shots.
I mean, again, like, here's the thing. The Galaxy have been bad, right? For who knows how long, right? But, you know, they've fired a lot of people trying to get it right. Okay. Right. And what they've done, and I think what they have done, right, is bring in Will Koontz, right, who was a guy that has seemingly put them back on track to get back into being in a better position. Now, do I ever want to see them win again? Absolutely not. But at the same time, right, if we're going to make excuses for a team not performing, right, and not continuing to do what is demanded of them in the city.
Yeah.
Again, you're like, if you're a LA sports fans, don't make excuses for their teams. You're just supposed to win. And when you don't win, we go to the beach. Right? Yeah. Because if you don't win, people don't show up. And again, look at both of us, right? We're at a point where it's really hard to care when the team seems just as apathetic as we are.
Right, right. So a couple things, and when you move around the country, LA fans are kind of notorious for being so blasé, right? That if you're not winning, we don't care. Yeah. People in Cleveland certainly would never would never understand that. And that's okay. LA fans don't have to be Cleveland fans. I love them both. I want to come back to something you said about what was it now? I can't remember what it was that triggered this thought with me, but Dolo was talking about in his presser how they had all the pieces they needed. And I think him going on record saying that, I mean, he's backing his players, right? He's backing his GM. He's saying, no, we're good, we're good, we're good. But that puts a lot of responsibility on him to get the ship righted. And I think that's the point where I don't see it. I don't see it in that locker room. I just don't. He also mentioned that, you know, the problem with parity in this league is that anybody can win at any time. He's like, it's a blessing and a curse, basically. And to a certain extent, he's right, right? It's the right assessment of MLS. But you can't just excuse away all your losses with that without me just turning it around and excusing away all your wins, right? So essentially what we're saying is the whole league is a giant crapshoot, and we're back to that apathy that you described, where it's like the league is so afraid of greatness taking over and people not caring about the sport, apparently, that like they won't let teams be successful. So it is hard to care. It's hard to care when that's the message from your head coach. It's like, well, you win some, you lose some in this league because it's built on parity. And it's like, all right, well, like, what are we paying you for, dude? Why do they need you? Do they need any coach at all? Or can JT just like put up a starting 11 and say, all right, boys, go get it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's why, right? So it's just like one of these things where we get to a point where, you know, here we are, you said a third of the way in.
Yeah.
And like I said, I wish I could be more mad, but, you know, I think I'm more annoyed that you keep hoping that they figure it out than anything else.
Yeah. And I guess for me, that's the point that I'm at, is I don't suspect that they will. It's going to take some monumental lifting far beyond just Olivier Giroud in the summer window to get this thing fixed. Because despite what Dolo says, I don't think they have the pieces to do it.
And now, I don't know if he's the guy to be able to put it together.
That's what I was going to say, is you can read into my comment what you want. You can say they don't have the coaching pieces and they don't have the pieces on the field. And I think both of those answers are correct. Regarding yesterday, was it bad tactics on LAFC's part? No. Was it good tactics on San Jose's part? Yes. Right?
Uh-huh.
Did anybody play exceptionally well for LAFC? The answer is no. I don't want to hear about Kike having a good game because he scored a goal. I don't care. They played like crap from front to back, every last one of them. There's no excusing that play from yesterday simply because Kike got a goal. So I think this is just who they are. Is there a bad team that is going to get a couple scrappy wins, again, because it's MLS, and is going to win or is going to lose some very winnable games because they're not good? Maybe that's too cynical, Josh. I don't know.
At this point, I think it's well received.
So on a scale of not great to 2021 bad, where are we, Josh?
6. I still think the roster is better. Right.
Than 2021.
Yeah. But actually, I don't know. Because here's the thing. At least in 2021, right, you're blessed with Chicho to kind of make you feel happy about how the season, you know, like you weren't winning, but he was fun to watch.
That was mid-season, though.
Yeah.
Right.
But again, I don't know. Does Giroud, even in Europe, I don't know what about his game is great, you know, fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like he's been fine, but I don't know.
All right. Let's get into some questions and drown in some more apathy, huh? We got Yo-Yo Torre 66. I don't like Tyrone LaBarre or poor timing in replacing players during the second half. If Giroud doesn't make a difference this season will be a big failure. I expect for someone to be fired ASAP. The ownership needs to stop being cheap on big player names. Do you feel like they're cheap, Josh?
No, I think that's I actually think JT continues to do a good job of putting together good, you know, for the most part, good rosters. I think you're always going to be up against it because of the way that the cap works and some of these things, which is why I think with Trendelo at the helm, you're going to have you're going to have a championship winning, and then you're going to have a season where you may not even make the playoffs, right? Because that's kind of what he doesn't really do much to lift up even a bad roster, right? Yeah. Versus, you know, if you put a great GM together with a great coach, right? You know, you're going to be in the hunt more often than not, you know? And I think JT's roster will generally keep you in the hunt. But if in the years where you're up against the cap, you're still going to struggle.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know about being cheap. I mean, I think they've made some questionable decisions to try and save money, like the Chicho decision that we've been analyzing and reanalyzing for years now. But I do feel like they're going to spend. I think it's clear that they're going to spend in the summer. Yeah, and that this team did not do an adequate job of replacing people that were leaving this winter, and so now we're going through this. I agree that if Giroud doesn't make a big difference on this team, which I think we have already stated he won't really, that this season is going to be a failure. Yeah. This is one thing that I wanted to point out. A lot of people keep saying, oh, well, they're not that far off from first place, right? That was like one of the things they were saying last week before all the games are played. A lot of fans are like, we're only 3 points from first and we're playing like crap. And then it's like the Sunday games happen, and all of a sudden we were like 6 points out of first. So they are 6 points out of first place now. 6 points in the opposite direction, Josh, takes them all the way down to 13th place. So if you want to count it one way, you have to accept the counterfactual as well, that you're not very far from being in 13th place. And the way that you're playing certainly makes it seem like it could go, it's more likely to go down than up, right? Anyway, I just think that's a funny thing that people point stuff out like that, but never consider the counterfactual. Yo-Yo Torre continues, feels like 2021 season with bad goalkeeping situation and no playoffs. It's hard not to make that comparison, right?
Yeah, I mean, how much better is Lloris than Vermeer?
Yeah. Distribution has been class, and he is not stopping goals. He's just not. Yo-Yo continues, this is ownership's fault. They decided to take a risk and wait until the summer to bring in a number nine the team has needed since last year. They don't have depth and brought in a goalkeeper that is a downgrade to Max Novella. And now we find out Atuesta is a DP, something he hasn't earned. A lot there. The number nine situation, I mean, they've needed it since Chicho left. They got it wrong on Gonzalez. I understand waiting for Giroud because, like, that's a name that you're going to wait for. I get it. Josh, what do you make of swapping out Max for Lloris?
I mean,
after this game,
the tough thing is, and especially after the game that Max had, even though they lost 3-2, right? Max kept that game from being 6-2 at some point.
Yeah.
Right. With some incredible saves. Obviously, they did it strictly for the price, but you get what you buy, I guess. Right. Because if you know, obviously Max wanted, he's going to, and the money that they probably needed to pay Max with, they gave it to Aaron Long. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think after all this stuff from Yo-Yo here, we are not that far out of a playoff spot. And you and I have always said, if you fail to make the playoffs in MLS, you should be fired immediately. Zero questions, right? Which means there's plenty of room for teams that make the playoffs for their coaches to be fired as well, because it's not an accomplishment, right? Making the playoffs in MLS is not an accomplishment. The majority of teams make it. 18 of 29 teams are going to make it this year, which is so stupid. It's so dumb. Jonathan Evans is the next one. The team needs more give a damn. And I like the fact that Chanot is chewing everyone out in the back. They need to wake up. The talent is there, but the motivation is not. Yeah. Also, not sure what's up with Martinez. We need him.
So my question here, right, is if a team looks like they don't give a damn, right, and your coach is sitting there drinking coffee on the sideline, right, Mr. Golf Clap Trundle, it starts there.
It's tough. I do believe in different leadership techniques. And that multiple variations of leadership techniques can be effective. It's not a good sign when the team looks lackadaisical and the coach is quite lackadaisical as well. Now, who knows what it looks like behind closed doors, if he's throwing chairs or whatever. I don't know that that is effective. But certainly the coaching staff has some level of responsibility for getting the team to buy in and play. We give coaches credit for that all the time. all the time we give coaches credit for like creating some sort of group dynamic that helps the team, right?
I mean, that is the ethos of Jurgen Klopp, right? People run, run through a wall for him or whatever.
Yeah. And not everybody's going to be that way, right? Again, different styles of leadership can be effective. So it's again back to that counterfactual where we're like the same person will tell you, oh, this coach does so good at motivating players and this one doesn't. Yeah. I don't know what's true. I'm not in the locker room. I know what the perception is, and it's what you just explained, right? So that's the perception that fans have, and I don't think they're wrong for having that perception because the team doesn't seem to care and neither does he. So how can he show that level of concern? It doesn't have to be screaming and doesn't have to be, you know, Cholo Simeone on the sidelines. It's got to be a statement. And I don't mean him giving a verbal statement in a presser. I mean a statement in the way the team plays, right? It's got to be him actually fixing it. That's how he can show that, like, no, I got this. We got this. The team's going to look different from here on out. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because again, if we're going to call out, if he's going to call out a Chicho, then I need that same energy. And right, and you just don't get that. When it seems inconsistent, then I think that's when that message starts to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah. Yeah. He did ask about Martinez. I mean, the back issue. I don't know. I don't know.
Back injuries are incredibly fickle, right? Yeah. And I think at that age, you know, there's a lot. There's still a lot going on. There's growing stuff. There's a lot of, you know, we don't know what his medical history was, obviously before coming in. So the likelihood is, like you said, with the amount of games, the flight, the travel, all those things take toll on young players, and it can take some time. And sometimes you'll see it in manifest in the way of back injury. So, you know, hopefully it's not anything that keeps him out too long, but at the same time, like I said, it can be also I think it's somewhat understandable as well.
Yeah. All right. Justin 33W, Kendrick got me gassed up. I'm about to expose the whole roster as frauds, but they did it themselves.
Drop the mic. That's it.
Oh, Drake sending pictures of his own Ozempic prescription, right?
I mean, is there anybody on the team that needs to take
some Ozempic, Josh?
So, I mean, maybe send some Carlos Vela's way before he makes his return in the summer.
Yeah, get him back out there and thinned up. He'll fix it. Tom Camilleri, I had a whole rant lined up for you, but like Larice, my spikes got stuck in the ground and I watched it go flying by. What a pathetic display all around. Yeah, just a awful, awful game.
And that's the thing. And I think it's like, as much as we wanted to marshal more anger towards this one, it's kind of hard because, again, it's almost what we expect at this point.
Yep. Ben Cox, this one's great, as is the norm with Ben. Four midfielders start, four strikers on the bench, down 3-0 at 60 minutes, two subs total, 62% possession for a direct counter-attacking team, an indictment both on tactics and roster build. Summer better come soon.
Whoo, tell me how you really feel.
Yeah. The four midfielders starting and the four forwards on the bench, indictment on the roster. Two subs total, indictment on the coach and on the roster. Down 3-0, indictment on the players, indictment on the coach, undoubtedly, right? Something about the way people defend this really gets to me, Josh. Because if Klopp was down 3-0 like this to one of the worst teams ever, which may have happened recently, he's going to take a lot of flack, right? And we're all like, yeah, of course he is. Absolutely he is, right? And he's going to take... The thing about him, though, is he's going to own up to it.
Mm-hmm. And again, and the people who defend him will defend him because he will own up to it, right? Like, if I think, like you said, the people who even love Klopp, if he doesn't own up to it in that moment, are not going to defend him, right? They're going to hold him accountable. What you were saying, the tough thing is it's like people won't... Like, I don't know what it is about Major League Soccer, right? We have this thing about not actually holding people accountable in U.S. soccer. Actually, not even Major League Soccer, U.S. soccer culture in general. We have a thing about not wanting to hold our players accountable because they're just soft.
How deep do you want me to go on this right now?
Oh, go for it.
Would you have a system that breeds and rewards mediocrity the way that MLS does? This is what you get. The mayor of Indianapolis says, we want an MLS franchise, and Don Garber is going to say, all you got to do is pay me $500 million and build yourselves a stadium. Right? It doesn't matter what the new Indianapolis MLS franchise looks like, plays like, performs, wins, losses, doesn't matter. It does not matter. It's pay the money, get in. Right? And they will stay in forever, regardless of performance. And this isn't to say that the threat of relegation is what creates excellence. It's the opportunity of promotion that rewards excellence all the way to the top. And like, if you don't see that, then I don't know how to help you understand the sport better on a global level. And to me, that's really what it boils down to. Why is our culture the way that it is? That's it right there. Because we reward mediocrity all the time. And U.S. soccer doesn't help because they reward a mediocre league with unchallenged power and authority, right? You don't want to play in the Open Cup? Fine. Whatever, we'll roll over, right? You guys want the only top flight status? Fine. You don't need to abide by the professional standards of the game. We'll just grant it to you, right? Sorry, that's a rant.
One of these days, we're gonna have one dedicated. We're gonna have a an off season episode just dedicated to this because I think it. There's more than obviously that needs to be said.
There is. And I know MLS fans don't like to hear it, but I'm sorry. Like it's not. Yeah. We'll save it for another episode. There's a lot of there are a lot of things in US soccer that point back to that. That are caused by that same problem. Okay, Darmalia. Last month, everyone was putting their Mount Rushmore for LAFC out. Not one person had Chiellini on there. This man made our defensive players better by directing the back line. We need better center backs that can build from the back. This starting lineup has no chemistry. Boring buildup. What do you got on that, Josh?
They're not wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like, tell me a pattern of play, you know, like, or a combination that looks fluid and natural. Or that is consistent.
Yeah. There's nothing.
There's none.
There's nothing.
Right? Like, they've run out of ideas just as quickly as they've run out of excuses.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love that. Run out of ideas as quickly as they ran out of excuses. That's perfect, Josh. Perfect. EB Hate, ever since Vela posterized that defense back in 2019, San Jose has been embarrassing us. Do you think we can win an open, or do you think we can make an Open Cup run for a trophy? Because I don't anymore. I don't know how you beat the top teams in the league with this team.
Well, they've shown. Right? So who's actually in the Open Cup? Because a bunch of those teams are, like, you don't have to deal with Columbus.
That's right. Who are the eight that are in? Is Miami in?
No, because they're already in the thing, right?
Right.
Seattle, terrible.
Okay.
Salt Lake is the one that you're going to have to beat. They're the tough.
I don't see you beating Salt Lake.
Yeah. Salt Lake, San Jose, again, it's not a good team, but we'll find a way to lose to them.
Yeah.
Houston, Atlanta, SKC.
I mean, Salt Lake has been...
Salt Lake is the heavy favorite, in my opinion.
Playing great.
Mm-hmm.
Score, like, can't stop scoring goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Houston isn't great.
SKC, Atlanta, not great. Dallas, Atlanta, not great.
Up and down.
Seattle, yeah. Not great.
So, I mean, maybe you can. Maybe you can. Like you pointed out, because most of the best teams aren't there.
And you have to hope that if Seattle, I mean, Salt Lake is in the midst of a push for Supporter Shield, maybe that's what they prioritize.
Which right now they are tied with FC Cincinnati in second place on Supporter Shield. Both of those teams have a game in hand on Miami, who's 3 points ahead of them. So they're keeping pace. Yeah.
And again, and you know that Miami is going to take off like a month in the summertime.
Yeah, that's true.
Because League Cup could be
making a Supporter Shield push. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Miami could, I don't think, cares about the Supporter Shield all that much.
No.
I think they value the League Cup more just because of the money and eyes that you get on that.
You ready for an insane question that's going to drive some people crazy?
Go for it.
Does winning the Open Cup in this format, this asterisk laden format, actually hurt the long-term cause with LAFC by allowing them not to address things?
Probably.
That's so
to be fair, because you make it, right? You don't necessarily probably, like, you're still probably a year, maybe. It's so hard to answer not knowing what the actual changes are going to be in the summertime.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I just mean, like, well, we won the Open Cup. No need to change anything, right? And that's clearly not the case. It's going to be awesome to win a trophy and to get yourself a CONCACAF Champions Cup berth, right? And nobody's going to argue against that. And again, it's awesome to bring home a trophy, especially a new trophy, but does it harm the long-term project?
Potentially, because to a certain degree, are you basically just Vancouver winning the Canadian, whatever the heck it is?
That's actually a pretty good comparison now. Lipstick, right? On,
like,
a pig.
It doesn't really make you I don't think it makes you anywhere near a top contender for the actual cup unless big changes need to be made. You're there, but that's about it.
Yeah. Christopher Colonna, I'm really running out of patience with Chirundolo and his horrendous tactics and game management. I'm also increasingly running out of patience with more and more of the players on this team. When Oliveira, aka B-Rod 2.0, is the best player on the pitch, it's a serious problem. Yeah, we already mentioned, like, he may have been the best player yesterday, but big fish in a small pond syndrome, right?
I think we can correct there. Chirundolo's tactics aren't horrible. There's just not much to them.
I agree with the game management.
Yeah, game management.
Right.
Don't disagree.
Where the subs are programmed. We don't even make subs, right? And if you're telling me that the roster is that bad that you can't make subs, then I get it. I'm more than willing to go after the front office for not bringing in more. But, like, dude, yeah. He's shown no ability to pull any strings that make a difference in any game ever.
Yeah. You're on auto sim mode basically for the entirety of this season. Yeah.
Right. Alan Kine, too much bad to fit into an X post, but I'll say this. Bad week for Atuesta to be trashed. Chicho didn't deserve DP spot, but Eddie did somehow. And Hugo, WTF. Also a question for Dolo. What are we good at anymore? Anything? Both his and JT's seats better be heating up fast. I think if you manage to bring Giroud to MLS, your seat probably isn't hot. I get the idea. I'm not arguing against that. I'm just like again arguing against what is likely the reality behind the front office doors, right? I love this question though. What are we good at, Steve? What does your team do well? Do they like each other? Do they score goals regularly? Do they score repeatable goals? Do they defend well? What do they do? I don't know. The answer is probably they create XG. Is probably the answer.
Yeah. They're good at creating chances that don't go in.
Yep. And here we are back to 2021 arguing with people over they're still creating good chances. Their XG differential is super high. It's gonna even out. And we're sounding alarm bells for 6 months over this. And everybody's getting mad at us, right? And it's like, you guys can talk about XG all you want, but what matters more are the goals. And they're being scored in the wrong direction against LAFC. So anyway, I couldn't tell you what this team does well, Josh. I really don't know. Bleach their hair. They bleach their hair really well.
Did they, though? It only lasted like a few weeks before Buonga got rid of them.
When they came out for the season like that, all my boys wanted to bleach their hair. So I got a couple Slim Shadys running around my house right now. Anyway. All right, Josh, I'm detached. I don't care about what's going on. I'm going to be here to provide commentary on it like always. But they can't hurt me anymore because I've gone numb to how bad this is.
We'll have a different conversation in July. Then maybe things will turn around. But that's what I've been told to do. So I'm going to stick with the instructions that are baked into the MLS box cake.
Yeah. All right. You can follow the show at @counterpress_. You can follow me at Kirk Kinsey. Josh.
LAFC Josh on X.
All right. We will talk to you all again later.